KBPS on PRP, student radio for the city of Portland. Joe Anderson here, your host. Thanks for tuning in. Join me as we hear from students across the Portland Public School District, powered by AM 1450 KBPS Portland. For 100 years, KBPS has been the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Brought to you by Portland Radio Project, KPRP LP Portland, your nonprofit community radio station. This is KBPS on PRP. Recently, Benson's sophomore Mildred Castillo-Bojorquez testified before the Portland Public Schools Board of Education. She spoke regarding the superintendent's proposed budget for the 2023-24 school year and its impact on programs offered by Latino Network, a Portland nonprofit that works to positively transform the lives of Latino youth, families, and communities. Mildred here with more on Latino Network and their services.
So, Creciendo Juntos is from a baby to 2 years old. So right before Juntos Aprendemos, they give funds for parents if they are struggling financially to afford diapers. They provide diapers. They provide lots of food resources. And they can also provide transportation. And then Juntos Aprendemos is right before pre-K or from before pre-K all the way to before kindergarten. I was in this program myself. They teach you how to spell your name, the ABCs. They also teach you how to write and read. And it's not only in English, but also in Spanish. And then early Escalera, I'm in it currently. And it has been something to do after school. So then I have a place to go right after school. They provide food. They also provide different field trips. We're going to Bullwinkle's in June for our end of the year celebration. And then Escalera, which is right after early Escalera, which is 11th to 12th graders. They help you apply for scholarship. They help you with FAFSA. They help you apply to different colleges. And they also help you with your resume and a lot of As the older you get, the programs you switch, the more college and after college it is focused.
Mildred spoke about the personal impact Latino Network and their programs have had on her.
Yeah, so I was the third to last interviewee. It was about Latino Network and how PBS is trying to cut their funds. And they are a very important organization. And I wanted to give my point of view on that and how impactful it has been for me. So at first, they gave my mom a solid place to feel in this community as an immigrant. She moved here in 2001 through 2003. And well, it's very difficult for an immigrant to come here in this community. And they were an outlet. They provided some financial support, but a lot of emotional support too. And she started as a participant, then volunteered, and is now working there full time. And she's a teacher there, so it's really good.
Mildred had this to say when asked how she felt any cuts to Latino Network's programs would impact her or other students.
Well, it would depend how, since we do get small donations from different, like, CommuniCare and from different schools. There wouldn't be a lot of support. They will cut down on the people that are working there, which means that they're going to cut down on which schools they'll be going to. And then I wouldn't have a place to go after school, and I wouldn't have somebody to ask me how I was and help me out with my academics. And so then it would be really sad for my age group, but from Juntos Aprendemos and Creciendo Juntos, it would really impact that community because it's mostly immigrants that recently came to the United States, and so they don't know English and they don't have a lot of resources because it's mostly word of mouth. And I know different parents that participate in there, and they also talked in the PPS board meeting last night about how wonderful it has been for their children, and they see how excited they are for school, and they're excited to go into elementary school after this.
Here is the full testimony of Mildred Castillo-Bojorquez to the Portland Public Schools Board of Education on Thursday, May 4th.
Hi, good evening. My name is Mildred Jacibel Castillo-Bojorquez, and I'm a student at Benson Polytechnic High School. Hola. Hola, buenas noches. Mi nombre es Mildred Jacibel Castillo-Bojorquez, y yo voy en la escuela en Benson Polytechnic High School. I have grown up in Latino Network. My mom is actually a teacher there. She's right here. That is my mom, Mildred. Yo siempre he participado en el programa Latino Network, y esa es mi mamá aquí, Mildred Bojorquez. Yo comencé en Juntos Aprendemos, y mi mamá comenzó a venir primero una voluntaria, y luego comenzó a trabajar ahí. My mom has... I've always participated in it. I started in Juntos Aprendemos, and my mom was a volunteer at first and now is working there. I think it's a really important program. First of all, it helped me, Juntos Aprendemos helped me like really know who I was, and I started, it's between the ages of 3 to 6, I'm pretty sure. And now I'm an assistant teacher at a different program, but I see that it's a little difficult teaching that age group, but it's really important because it's their fundamental steps, and that's when they're learning who they really are. Yo creo que es muy importante que tengan esas programas en Juntos Aprendemos, porque yo personalmente comencé ahí, y yo trabajo en un diferente programa con esa edad, y miro que es muy importante que en esa etapa, que porque ellos están aprendiendo quién son y bueno, so quién son. And now I am in Benson, and I participate in Early Escalera because I'm a sophomore, and that has also helped me really know who I was and really guided me into leadership roles. I'm running for junior president at Benson Polytechnic. Ahorita estoy en Early Escalera, y eso me ha ayudado a de verdad saber quién soy, y también me ha dado diferentes oportunidades de liderazgo. Estoy participando para que yo sea presidente de junior en Benson Polytechnic High School, porque soy un sophomore. Es muy importante para mí que siga estos programas en las escuelas, no solo en high school, en middle school, pero también en la elementaria. Y es muy importante comenzar la educación desde una edad temprana. I think it's really important to keep these programs in schools, like high schools, middle schools, and even elementary schools, because it's really important to have education at a very young age, because then the younger you are, the more quicker you learn, and the easier it is to learn when you're at a young age. Y es muy importante tener esas clases desde una temprana edad, porque es más fácil aprender cuando estás en una temprana edad, y todo se queda mejor. So, thank you for listening to me. Gracias por escuchar lo que tengo para hoy.
And one final note from Mildred.
If you ever want to see a change in your community, be the change and don't just wait around and see what happens. So go to those PPS district board meetings, speak your thoughts, and don't just sit around and wait for other people to do it.
KBPS is owned in full by the Portland Public School District, who received no prior notice to the air of this program and had no editorial control over its content. For AM 1450 KBPS, I'm Chief of Staff Joe Anderson.
Good morning, KBPS on PRP. My name is Apple Madison from the KBPS student staff. The Portland Public School Board has just made history. For the first time ever, people of color will hold a majority on the PPS school board. No matter what happens in the upcoming midterm election happening this month, by the way, a majority of the members on the PPS school board will be people of color. I think that's a very good thing for PPS to do. As a student of color myself, this is very important to me to see that our leaders at PPS look like me. It just helps me feel better and represented overall. We appreciate the board members for running for this position. I'm Apple Madison reporting for KBPS on PRP.
You're listening to KBPS on PRP. with your FM dial tuned to 99.1.
Another shooting, another killing, another protest, another free killer cop, another unarmed black kid dead in the streets, another injustice court case, another Instagram hashtag, another person of color not getting the justice that they deserve, another news article, another cop killing another person of color because they know that they can get away with it because we've seen it happen over and over and over and over again. Another black father yelling at his kids over and over again what to do when they get pulled over by a cop because he knows the injustice towards black people and doesn't want them to die just because of the color of their skin. Another mother crying out for help because she never knew that she would get a phone call saying her son died from another killer cop that thought he had a gun, even though the whole time it was just a hairbrush. Another and another and another and another killing towards black people. When does it end? Does it ever end? Will it ever end? I hope and pray that there's one day where a black boy or a black girl won't have to worry about wearing a hoodie on top of their head or over their face or hanging out with their other black friends and a cop accusing them that they're in a gang. We're just accepting it at this point. Is this the world we're forever gonna live in? Another black or brown person ending up dead. I guess this is just a repeating process that will never end. I'm sick of seeing people of color always ending up dead. I wish it would end, but it doesn't. How many more black and brown people have to die because of the color of their skin?
All alone, I want somebody to take me home.
You're listening to KBPS on Portland Radio Project.
And get to know me like what you see. Yeah, I'll set you free. Feel the lights coming down. Should we give it a go?
Hi, this is Josiah on the KBPS Hour on Portland Radio. I'm here with Colby, and we're going to be talking about Joan of Arc today.
Hello.
So, first off, I've already actually started this before.
Yeah, didn't you start like months and months ago?
We don't talk about that. I started it a while ago and then I just never made a backup episode, so that's what this is. So Joan of Arc, I think the last we left off was she had just completed like her first battle. It was the first time she was deployed into any battle. And nobody believed she could do anything because she's just some French peasant girl who's from a part of France that is so remote, she didn't even think she was in France.
Nah, you never underestimate the French peasants. Anybody French never underestimates, like, they're just goaded.
What a term. To be fair, the French have, like, a revolution every 15 years or so. I think that's the...
It's, like, part of their religion, honestly.
I mean, their religion is Catholicism, but, you know, close enough. which, that brings us back into Joan of Arc. She was actually, like, a very, very, very firm believer in Catholicism. And she thought that she was, like, hearing voices and then would, like, look around and there's just, like, a beam of light of, like, a person. Which, in those days... it was believed if you saw like the physical form of a saint or angel, that is heresy. That's actually like a devil in disguise as an angel. But if you see just like a beam of light or like some crazy shape or whatever, that is like the official saint. So she basically, like, her first battle she won, and then the second battle. What was the second battle? I think she also won the second battle, but she ended up. She tried. Okay, she went to the generals and she said, "In the night, we should attack their camp, while they are like, while they're not expecting us." And so they sent out an attack, a secret attack in the night, and the enemy troops were prepared. They had already cornered them by the time they marched onto the field. They had three different armies surrounding her. And so she tried to get all of her men to charge and attack, but they literally didn't. They just left. They just left her.
I respect that. I respect that.
I mean, if you're going to die, why fight for somebody who
is just probably, like, crazy and doesn't actually know what's going on?
Or they genuinely believe that she was holy, because in her first battle, she was shot, like, in between her plates of armor, and the arrow pierced her. And she went back to, like, the camp and saw the damage, and she just put her suit of armor back on and ran back out there. So all of the men on the battlefield thought she wasn't hurt by this arrow that just pierced her.
That's actually, like, really, really cool.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. And then that was people being like, God is with her. So she just went back onto the battlefield, and she charged, and everybody charged with her. New burst of energy after hours of exhaustion, right, from fighting. And they won. The second battle, though, even though they won, she had to be dragged off of the battlefield because she was, like, riding her horse, and they were shot with an arrow. There were three men around her, also wielding banners. And one of them was shot in the foot, and as he was leaning down, he lifted his visor to lean out down and, like, take the arrow out. And as he was leaning down, another arrow went straight through his head, and he just died. And then the other person standing next to them also got shot and died. And so she was the last one left, and she ended up getting shot and didn't die, but she had to be carried back to a medical camp where the damage was so bad that she had to be, like, kept on support. Like, she had to be nursed back to health.
How do you have, like, life support when they're, like, during, like, what, the medieval era?
Leeches. Not really life support.
Leeches?
More like, yeah, leeches.
All right. That makes sense, I guess.
Also, like, some other gross things, which I don't think we're allowed to talk about, but definitely stuff. But she had she definitely did a lot of good things. Uh-huh. Although after, I already said, the night battle. After the night battle, she was captured, and she was brought to England, where in the beginning, I talked about this in the last episode, but in the beginning, she was, like, tested by the king, because he didn't believe her. There were tons of people coming forward and saying, I'm a messenger from God, and I'm here to bring holiness back to France. And so she had to be tested. She had to be tested to see if she was a virgin. So she was brought to a monastery, or not a monastery, a nunnery. She was brought to a monastery to test her religious faith, and then she was brought into court to test what the voices were that she was hearing. So this time it was the same thing. She was brought into a nunnery to test if she was a virgin, and it came back, yeah, she's a virgin. She was brought into a monastery, test if she has full religious devoutness. And it came back and, like, yeah, of course she does. She's a messenger from God. And then she was brought into the courtroom. And this is England, so they at the time, England and France had two different popes that they believed in. So that means that England and France had different religious laws at this time. So England had basically said that they asked her what the voices were, to tell them about the voices, and she refused. She said, I cannot tell you that information unless it is to my king. Which is, that is the best move she could have made, because if she told them all the things that she was seeing, which were completely fine by French laws, they could have been bad by English laws, and she would have been persecuted.
Huh, she definitely dodged a bullet, or I guess in that era, an arrow.
Yeah, another one.
Yeah.
Basically, she just never told them about the voices. And then they tried to ask her a bunch of questions to trick her, but she always told them a genuine, true answer, which came back fine. But one thing that she did try to ask was, do you believe you will go to heaven when you die? And if she says yes, that means that she is, like, what is it? What's the word?
Holy?
No. If she says she will go to heaven when she dies, she's, like, too cocky. Like, I can't remember the word. But basically, she can't go to heaven if she says she will. And if she says, I don't think I will, then she's a heretic who doesn't believe in God anymore. So either way that she answered this, it was bad. But her answer she gave was fine, because she said, if it is in His holiness that I am accepted into heaven, then I am truly happy. But if it is within His grace that I am brought to hell, then I would be the saddest creature to have ever lived. And that was like the best response she could have given, because there's no way that she could be persecuted on that. She did, however, one thing she did do was she wore men's clothing, which was against both religious laws. Wearing men's clothing was like against the church entirely. And so she was going to be persecuted on that. But the reason why she wore it was because it's more difficult to remove, and so she's not going to be assaulted by the male soldiers. So she, at one point, I believe, she actually sat down and talked with like the priest that was trying to persecute her, and he could not get anything out of her. But he did tell her after leaving, do not put on men's clothing again. And there are a few theories that happened here. One is that she was assaulted by male guards, and so she put on men's clothing, or they forced her into it. Another theory is that guards just came in and they forced her into male clothing, so that way she would look guilty the next day. Either way, she came out the next day, she was wearing male clothing, and the priest immediately was like, you're a heretic. She was brought back onto the stands. She didn't tell any of them about the voices, and she was persecuted. She was found guilty of 14 acts of heresy, and she was sent to be burned at the stake. She was called a heretic, and she was forever lost.
So she was basically burned for just wearing men's clothing?
Yeah, and 14 other things, but those were all like completely bogus. Because the French ended up winning the war anyways. And the reason why is because they didn't really care if they lost Joan of Arc. The king didn't really care. Because after all, the only thing that he would be losing is a relief force, which he was already sending, a banner, which he didn't really care about because it's a little bit of resources, yeah. And a suit of armor and a girl, just a peasant girl. So if he lost Joan of Arc, it was kind of like whatever. Plus, he didn't need her to send like this encouraging message, because he already now had a peasant boy who was like a shepherd, and he also carried religious messages. So it didn't matter if she was lost to the king, although he did still admire her ability to get these men to run forward and fight for France. So after the trial had been done and after France had won the war, he went back down there and he had done a retrial to make sure that she was recognized not as a heretic, but as a saint.
That's really cool, actually.
Yeah. She got a retrial after her death, and she was recognized as a saint.
I mean, at least it's something.
Yeah. And today we see her as a crazy witch, but back then, she was a holy, amazing person who did admirable acts.
A lot of really cool stuff.
Yes. Led two armies to victory, and then a third to loss, but whatever. Either way, she was a great story, and I'm glad to have talked about her. Thank you for coming on the show, Colby.
Yeah, of course.
And this has been KBPS on PRP Hour. Listen to us on KBPS 1450, and thank you for listening.
If you'd like to support KBPS on PRP, please consider donating to Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like KBPS on PRP stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click the big red heart.
Hello, this is Ariana.
Oscar.
From KBPS on PRP. So, Oscar, can you talk about the new shoes that came out recently?
Yeah, the new Travis Scott Olives. They're really good shoes. They're women's, though, so that's one thing. But, I mean, I don't think it matters if it's women's or men's. I think everyone's going to start wearing the Travis Scotts or either reselling them and putting them up for like $1,000. But I mean, it's a really hard shoe to get and a really expensive shoe to get as well. So, I mean, the colorway is pretty cool. I just don't really like the way that resellers are just getting the shoe just to resell them for their own profit and not even wearing the shoes. And well, I know there's going to be a couple back doors too that's going to go on. So, I mean, it's cool. It's a good design, but it's a pain that resellers are going to just ruin the shoe. What about you, Ariana? What do you think about the shoe?
I really like the color of the shoes. I really liked how they're like a little bit of black, white, and like dark kind of green. So it's kind of like, it's really good colors that the shoe has. And it sucks that people, how you had also mentioned, how people are going to resell them for so much more when people are really trying to get them to actually wear them. But I feel like it's going to be the same thing that happened with the Jordan 1 Retros, Travis Scott's. But hopefully people actually realize that people actually want the shoes and not just to resell them. I feel like this happens with a lot of the shoes that are exclusive. What do you think?
Like the, what other ones? There was like the Chicago's too. They're pretty expensive. Same with the UNC's and just a bunch of like cool colorways that either the sneakerheads like hype it up so much. So that means the more hype, the more expensive it's going to be, right? Because everyone wants them. It's like a whole like, not trend, but more of like a culture like, oh, these shoes are so fire, we should mark it up even higher, like the value goes higher. And there's also some shoes that have really good colorways and some sneakerheads are like, oh, those are bricks or considered as bricks, which means like, oh, those shoes, they're making so many of those shoes that everyone's going to have them and they're bricks, right? They're not really good for resale, and that's all the sneakerheads care about, is just resale. It's making a profit.
And it really sucks because a lot of the time people will go and stay in line, and right now it's too hot because we have been having rainy days. It's hot. We're only about like 60, 70 degrees, and people have to wait in line. And it sucks because those people who don't be waiting in line will get them, and then it's like, oh, I'm gonna just resell them.
Yeah, the back doors, right? Just people that pay extra to get the shoes early and really just finesse everyone that really wants them.
Yeah, it sucks, but
I mean, maybe one day that'll change, but I mean, I don't really see like anything changed for the last like couple years with just reselling. But I mean, I'm glad that, you know, people also get entered into raffles. That means that they have a chance to get the shoe that they want, right?
Yep.
So, I don't know. What's one of your favorite shoes that you like, Ariana?
Well, I'm not really much of a shoe person. Like, if you get me shoes, like, I'll wear them. I'm not really much. I have some Jordans. I don't wear them. But I low-key wish I was into shoes because it's kind of the same thing with, like, cars or, like, you know, you really want them and you want to stack on stack. You know, we both know a teacher who has a lot of shoes. He'll resell. And, like, people have passion for those shoes. And some people, you know, aren't really much of a sneakerhead, kind of. But I'm just mainly into more Vans.
Casual kind of shoes.
Yeah, more casual kind of shoes. What about you?
I mean, I've always, my first ever pair of Jordan, my first ever pair of Jordans were the Jordan 1s. I like the whole feel of it. Different colorways that are good and bad. But you can always, like, never go wrong with the Jordan 1s. I just have such a deep connection with them because they're, like, my first ever Jordans that I ever gotten as a gift. And now I recently just been wearing the Chicago Lost and Founds. And those are, like, my holy grails that I've, like, one of my favorite shoes I've gotten. I'm glad that we shared some sneaker things. So, I mean, there hasn't been really any shoe news or anything. So I'm glad that we talked about this and that hopefully one of y'all get the Travis Scott Olives. Maybe, I don't know. Make sure to rock them though. Or if you want to resell them, go ahead. But I mean, I would wear them. But this has been
Ariana
and Oscar
on KBPS on PRP.
Hello. Hello, Portland Radio Project listeners. I'm James from AM 1450 KBPS, and I'm here interviewing my friend, Meriwether Stewart, for the one-hour show.
Hello!
So, Meriwether, how did you feel about becoming a clown?
Well, I've been wanting to be a clown for such a long time, and after the fun workshop at the beginning of April and getting my, like, official clown certificate and becoming an official clown, I feel really happy about it.
Well, is it everything you hoped for when you were signing up to become a clown?
Yes, it is all that and way more. There was a parade last week, and it was really hot, and I was really exhausted by the end of it, but it was so fun to be able to laugh and wave and do little tricks and all sorts of things to make the kids and the adults who were watching the parade laugh and smile.
Well, what would you say some of the highlights for that from that parade were?
I saw one of my friends from Benson in the crowd, and they recognized me, which was a bit of a shock because I was in full clown makeup. Whenever we went by the, like, little kids, I would wave at them, and they'd wave back at me, and just seeing them smile. Seeing all these kids smile and be happy was real, real fun.
Well, can you tell us your clown name and the favorite act, your favorite act that you've performed?
My favorite act I've performed has to be the thing I did at the talent show for my clowning, which involves a couple of juggling balls, and you basically drop one, and then you drop another, and then you drop another, and you keep dropping the balls even though, and picking them up and dropping them, and it's very funny. My clown name is P.T., that's P.T., which stands for Peter Tomfoolery. My whole character is that I'm like this second-in-command to the big boss clown, and except that I don't really want to do my job, I just want to fool around, so when the boss is away, the clowns will play, and it's that sort of character here.
Well, do you have anything else you want to add?
There is an upcoming event on the 13th, the St. John's Parade. I will be at that. I will be at the opening of City Fair. I will be at the Junior Rose Parade. I'll be at the... Let me double check. I'll be at the Grand Floral Parade. It's going to be very fun, and I hope to see some people that I recognize there at some of the parades and the events. It's going to be real fun, and... if you want to be a clown next year, there's information on the Rose Festival website. So,
well, what would you say the next step in your clown career is?
I don't know. Honestly, might look into going to like an actual clown college. Who knows?
Thank you, PRP listeners, for joining us for this exciting interview. This is Ben James interviewing Meriwether for KBPS. Have a good day.
Hello, this is Jonathan from KBPS Portland. I've just released a house remix of my own song called High. It's the first track that I've released with my own vocals. Here it is, and thanks for listening.
Teufel in mir drin, durch die ganze Nacht. Frag mich, warum denk ich so viel nach. Gift in meinen Adern, doch ich nimm noch mehr. Und ich mach noch weiter, auch wenn es noch schadet. Mir stehen Body und ich fühl mich frei. Bin am Fliegen, Bro, ich bin so high. Zeit verschwindet durch die ganze Nacht. Bin am Trippen, ja, es fliegt die Zeit.
mir stehen Wodi und ich fühl mich frei. Bin am Fliegen, Bro, ich bin so high. Zeit verschwindet durch die ganze Night. Bin am Trippen, ja, es fliegt die Zeit.
Good day, listeners, and thank you for listening to the KBPS Hour. My name is Zip, and I'll be continuing my semi-weekly segment where I review a song from an artist's album that was released recently. This week, I'll be doing the song Eat Your Young by Hozier. It was released on March 17th. Let's take a listen.
I'm starving, dying. Let me put my lips to something. Let me wrap my teeth around the world. Start carving, darling. I wanna smell the dinner cooking. I wanna feel the edges start to burn.
Andrew John Heiser Byrne, better known mononymously as Hozier, released his newest EP on March 17th titled Eat Your Young, in which he examines gluttony, heresy, and loss with blazing soul power. The title of the first track does exactly this. The lyrics explore the main character's gluttony, summarizing it in the chorus by detailing all the different ways you can, in the title's fashion, eat your young. The song opens with an incantation of the phrase as well, though it's sung in a way similar to the backing choir of one of Hozier's other tracks, Nina Cried Power, which was featured on his 2019 album, Wasteland Baby. Hozier's lilting voice throughout the pre-chorus and the chorus itself captures his signature mysterious essence in a way only the Irishman can, and the verses certainly do not disappoint either. Though the chorus certainly stands out, the track itself is objectively one of the best of the three on the EP, and the accompanying tour he has announced with the album's release adds all the more excitement. His date here, October 25th, is already almost sold out, and other places are selling out fast as well. Eat the Young, both the song and the EP itself, are some of Hozier's best pieces of work so far, and one can only expect his popularity will only skyrocket from here. My name is Zip, and I'll be back on next week's KBPS Hour.
Hello, I'm Corey with KBPS, and today I haven't done one of these in a little bit, so we're going to talk about, you know, what I normally talk about, cars. Like I said, I haven't really been on here in a really long time, so lots happened with my cars and what I've been doing with stuff like that, I guess, like a lot. I think the last time I did one of these was like, I don't even think I've done one this year, actually. but I've been slacking, you know what I'm saying? But that's I'm going to talk about what I've been doing pretty much. So, I mean, first things first, I did get a new car. I got a 2009 Honda Civic LX sedan. Unfortunately, it is not an SI, so do not have a K20 in there. It's also automatic because it's pretty much just a little daily, except I'm starting to build it pretty much, which is a problem. but yeah, it's not a 5-speed, unfortunately, either, which are, you know, with these cars are pretty fun to drive, especially if it was an SI, dude, and getting 6-speed in that thing, you know, K20, don't even, bro. But yes, I did get a new car. I got that about a month ago, I think now. I don't, maybe less. I just got it. I thought that's probably the biggest news with that. But, I mean, from a timeline from last time I've done stuff, so pretty much when I had the Accord, with that car, I've done the, I did a car meet with it, or I took it to a car meet, what I should say, which was kind of fun. Other than that, though, I haven't really done much with it. I still have it, I just don't drive it anymore. I finally got insurance on, like, my own insurance, if that makes sense. So I put it in storage, and it's I don't drive it, obviously, for that reason. So I'm actually trying to sell it right now. I have it listed for, like, 16, which is way less than I bought it for, unfortunately, which I bought it for, like, 22. I got scammed, obviously. but, yeah, no, the new car is definitely an upgrade from that thing. I would say what I call it, but, you know, can't say that on here. but yeah, no, this new car is really nice. I'm pretty excited about it. It's a, it's not, nothing's like special. It's not like, I think this car is what, 13 years old. It's really weird to think that was 2009. I still feel like that was like 8 years ago or less, but it's not. But yeah, no, I've also, I mean, I think I've talked about the Red Civic on here. Definitely have. I don't know why I say, oh, maybe. Anyways, that car blew up, unfortunately, about a month and a half ago. That's before I got this other car, which is really a shame because we just got it working. Which I guess, actually, I don't even think I was on here to talk about that. I did get it working. I got the, replaced the oil pump, the water pump, the crank pulley broke. Like, someone, like, glued it on or something. It was some stupid redneck crap that just completely screwed it up. So we had to get a new one. We also had to get, like, a gasket and something else. I don't remember what it is. I don't remember the name, but it pretty much had to do something with the clutch. But, yes, we did fix it. We got it running for a little bit. Did an oil change. Had a weird thing with the oil. the oil pump. Pretty much it wasn't primed because we paid someone to do it for us because I didn't really know how to do it. And neither did, and my goddad pretty much wanted to like make sure it was all done correctly, which it wasn't. But at the same time, it was a 400,000 mile engine. And it was like a D, I think they have a D15 in them. I don't remember the exact engine and all that, but it's a D15. So they're not super powerful. So, I mean, it was bound to happen, which is fine. You know, we're going to put a K24 in it with a K20 head on it and with a 6-speed, which is going to be really exciting. I just need to buy it, which I found one for about $1,100 for everything I need for the swap. I just need to buy an ECU and some other stuff. And also a conversion kit because, you know, there's car, those engines statistically are not supposed to be in that car. Well, you know what I mean? Like that. Like, I could put a B series in there without having to swap anything out. Same with, you know, obviously another D series in there. But, you know, I'd rather get that more powerful engine, you know what I'm saying? But it did end up knocking when we were driving it. We thought the oil pressure light was all messed up because I did an oil change and everything was done and it was being like weird. Like it would turn off whenever we like got off the, like whenever it was like going uphill. So we were just like, oh, okay. Well, maybe it's just something wrong with it. And then, you know, started knocking. We're like, oh, great. But it's fine. I do have a plan for it on the way. We're not going to junk it. I put a lot of money into it already, so I don't want to just see it go to waste. But for now, I'm not really doing anything with it right now. It's mostly just the blue Civic. And I also forgot to mention, I did also, or I guess my cousin got a Infiniti G35X. So it means it's all-wheel drive. But we've been working on that mostly. I've been going down to Jefferson, which he was on the first thing of this little podcast type thing I do, because back then he just got that Volkswagen Passat. That thing was terrible. I tried driving it and it was terrible. The clutch is sweet spot is like literally when you are like right about to let go of it, so it's super like weird to drive. And I'm not really the best, I'm not a good manual driver. I think I've only had two manual cars in my life. Because, oh my gosh, I forgot about one. Oh, this is going to be a funny story in a minute here after I finish this segment. But he got the G35X. It is automatic. Interior's trashed. The exterior's pretty nice. We took out the front axle because it was broken or there's something wrong with it. And we started drifting it, which is kind of fun. We did get in trouble for it, which is obvious. It turned out okay though. We went back to the person because someone like jumped out in front of us at their truck when we were drifting around a corner that we can around his area, and they were like screamed at us. We're like, oh great. They were threatening to call the cops. They're gonna get his plates, but that car doesn't have plates right now because the title's like messed up right now because it's like a Missouri title, and the last lady or whoever we need to get the title information from lives in Missouri because it was title hopped, so Oregon won't take it. Which is really annoying, but we're getting it figured out at the moment. But yeah, so it doesn't have plates on it. It didn't come with plates, so we also got in trouble for that. But he didn't end up calling the cops. We drove back, kind of were like, you know, pouting. Not really. We were just like, oh, what a jerk. You know what I'm saying? Even though we were obviously in the wrong. We went back. We apologized for it. We shook his hand. He was like, you know, he's like, I understand. You know, I was, you know, your age once, you know, doing the same stuff. It's, you know, just a safety concern. We're like, yeah, we get it. We were just, you know, messing around with the car. So that's pretty much how that went. But I did forget to mention something. I did buy another EG Civic. I bought a 1995 EG Coupe that was T-boned, so it had frame damage. That thing was the most terrifying thing you would ever drive. I'm telling you right now. Oh my God, it was terrible. But, I bought it for the bumper and some other parts that I needed for the one I have, which I didn't really even end. I only really took the taillights, to be honest. The rest of it was either, like, wouldn't come off, there was problems with it, like, the part, or, I mean, it was automatic, so I didn't want to take the cluster, which I did really need. I kind of wish I did take it, but I was told not to by my godfather. He's like, no point, because you're just going to put another a manual one in anyway. So, who, like, what's the point? I'm like, it's a good point. So we, me and my friends picked it up. I drove it home because, believe it or not, it drove. I mean, kind of plugging my Instagram right here. If you want to check it out, what it looked like, it's the teal Civic on my page on Instagram at Bearnaise Sauce. It had some black hood and all that, and it was trashed. It was disgusting inside. It was terrible. But I took it home. I was going to take the rims and the coilovers off of it as well, but I didn't because I just wanted it out of my house because it was really gross, and it was kind of an eyesore. So I paid some. I paid, I think, $300 for it. Got everything signed over, or the bill said. I didn't put my name on the title because I don't really care. Believe it or not, it was clean. That was the funny part. But I bring it home. I took the parts off of it right away, kind of just let it sit. I sold the trunk lid, or traded trunk lid to someone, like $40 for, what do you call it? Like, it's kind of confusing. We traded trunk lids, and he gave me $40 on top. That's what I meant to say. I couldn't, like, think of the words. But I gave him, I guess I didn't sell that to him. I sold it to a different guy who came around. We agreed on $600 for the car, and it was perfect because he has a coupe as well, except, you know, it's manual, same color, same everything. He was going to cut off a part of it and weld it onto his car, which is kind of sketch, but, you know, it's not my problem. Because I was going to sell the engine out of it, but I ended up not doing it, and he ended up getting it towed up to Wilsonville, and I only had the car for a couple days. I took the parts over to Malala, where my car is. We got all the... That's actually the day it died, is when I took him over. We got him, the taillights washed out, and the bumper was kind of junk, so he just threw it out, unfortunately, but it was whatever. And that's kind of the story between that car. Yeah, it was pretty fun to drive around for a little bit, because, you know, it's a complete beater. Not even, dude. That thing was dangerous to drive. If I got hit with that thing or pulled over, I would have gotten in trouble for it, which is a shame. But I don't care because that thing was disgusting. But yeah, no, that's pretty much what I've been doing lately. Other than, I mean, I'm like trying to like think of what I've been doing lately other than that with like the car stuff, because we did fix the Silverado. That thing stopped working, but I mean, it was mostly just we put a new starter in it because the starter sucked. I drove the I officially want to buy a truck now. I'm thinking about buying a S10 because I was originally going to buy an Integra or something. It's for a project car because my like I said, I'm not really trying to mod the Civic because, I mean, A, it's not like an SI or anything, so the engines in R series, which aren't like the coolest engine. But, yeah, that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm looking into also like Integras, Beamers, stuff like that. Anything really, I'm probably getting it in manual because, you know, they're more fun to drive and all that. I've also looked into like Camaros and Corvettes. Corvettes would be a definite project for my budget right now. It would probably be like the ugly 80s Corvettes as well. But besides that, though, I've mostly just been chilling with fixing these other cars. But yeah, it's not really been a... But yeah, I think this will probably wrap it up for today because I can't really think of anything else to talk about right now. I'll probably end up doing another interview eventually, but yeah, this was cool with KBPS, and I guess I'll talk to y'all later.
We all know this coming up Saturday is prom for some schools. I know it's such an exciting time for seniors, but one thing we shouldn't forget this weekend as well is that this Sunday is Mother's Day. This day has a special place in my heart because I was raised by a single mother who worked late in the night until the afternoon, and I want to do something special for her. If you want to do something special for your mom, I know where to go. Sherry's Berries is a website with some delicious treats like chocolate-covered strawberries, or you can get some flowers, or maybe a basket with some goodies inside for the woman who helped raise you. You can get a 15% discount if you put in your first order and your email address. But no matter what, make sure to spend time with your mother, because that would be worth more than anything you can buy. I can promise you that.
You're listening to KBPS on Portland Radio Project.
Hey, this is our brand new podcast.
Luke
and Kyle. Today we have a very special episode. We are going to be following a Big Mac through the digestive system.
Yes, a Big Mac is a beef burger with pickles, lettuce, onion, American cheese, special Big Mac sauce, and a sesame seed bun. Sounds interesting, eh?
Very much so. So let's dive into this digestive system now.
So, the beginning of this story takes place at the McDonald's drive-thru. We get ordered and slapped together. First, our sesame seed bun is placed onto the wrapper. Next, our patties were sizzling as they got plopped onto the bun.
As the rest of us gets put together and wrapped up, we get placed into the bag and handed through the drive-thru window.
The car is parked.
We are unwrapped.
And then we are grabbed by two hands.
And bitten into. This was just the beginning of our journey through the digestive system.
As we get bitten into, we meet the mouth, teeth, and tongue. This is so that we can get chewed up, or grinded, as you might say. Then we meet the salivary glands. They are a big part of the start of chemical digestion, and the teeth and tongue is a part of something called mechanical digestion.
Then, when we are chewed up and softened, we head down the esophagus. The esophagus leads us to the stomach. The stomach is the main part in mechanical and chemical digestion.
Yes, it is. The stomach chemically breaks down the food molecules, while the actual stomach organ breaks down the food like a blender, but minus the blades.
After the stomach breaks us down mostly, we get passed through small parts to the small intestine, which is normally around 22 feet long. The small intestine contracts and mixes us with the digestive juices and breaks us down a lot.
After we go through the small intestine, we get headed down the large intestine, which you might think, because of the name, it will be longer or larger than the small intestine, but it is only wider, so the actual whole of the large intestine is bigger than the small intestine.
So, the large intestine has us, and we get all the water taken from us and all the indigestible residue, and we start to get made into feces. Then we get transferred from the large intestine to the anal canal. While we are there, we wait for the signal to release.
Finally, the time comes and we get released.
Thank you so much for coming on this journey with us.
Yes, thank you. We appreciate it.
Tune in for our next episode. Bye!
If you'd like to support KBPS on PRP, please consider donating to Portland Radio Project. Your support of PRP helps programs like KBPS on PRP stay on the air. For more information, go to prp.fm and click the big red heart. KBPS on PRP, the new student show airing on Portland Radio Project, featuring Benson High School KBPS radio students. On air since 1923, KBPS is the radio station located at Benson High School, staffed by students while they learn about the communications and broadcast industry. Streaming 24/7 at www.kbps.am or 1450 on your AM dial. KBPS is the voice of the Portland Public Schools. Portland Radio Project is your nonprofit community radio station, closely tuned into Portland, on the dial at 99.1 FM in the heart of Portland and streaming worldwide from any computer at prp.fm. This concludes our show for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Joe Anderson, and this has been an hour with KBPS on PRP.